Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Allison Westfall. She is a nationally renowned exercise physiologist, endurance sports coach, and the author of The Gluten-Free Fat Loss Plan. Allison and I will be discussing about her life's journey and her new book. Good morning, Allison. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Johnny. I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
I really am looking forward to talk with you about the book because I think it's very well done. It's an easy read and very informative. And one of the greatest challenges I was looking at is like, oh, my God, I'm doing this gluten-free thing. And am I eating gluten-free stuff? And then once I find out that I am, so I feel much better now.
Good. Now you can give me a little endorsement.
There you go. Be more than happy to do so. Yes, definitely. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment. And I know you have some wonderful achievements, so please share that with us.
Sure. Well, I was very blessed to be raised by wonderful parents who are actually they're just celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to them. And they're so young. I mean, they just got married when they were kids. They were 20. Mm-hmm. So that's actually been really fun for my brother and I. As we get older, you know, we start to view our parents as actual friends, you know, and not just mom and dad. And so it's mm-hmm. been, it's just, I love my parents. They're amazing. But I was raised on a small wheat farm, of all things, in Kansas, and the reason that's ironic is because wheat has gluten in it. Mm-hmm. So there are three things that have gluten in it. It's wheat, barley, and rye. We'll get back to that later. But mm-hmm. so I was basically raised on a high gluten diet. and we didn't know. We didn't know that I was allergic to it at the time, even though I always felt really sick around wheat harvest. Mm-hmm. And I would get really bad allergic reactions to the wheat dust when I went outside. So I would always just kind of stay inside and help my mom, you know, make lunch for the guys out in the field. And never once did it occur to anyone, you know, me, my parents, my doctors, that, you know, if I was allergic to to the wheat dust, that mm-hmm. probably was a good sign that I shouldn't be putting wheat in my body either.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, we figured that one out later. I went to a small public school growing up, and then for college I was really, really lucky, and I got into Yale, and so I, you know, went off to the big East Coast, and mm-hmm. my parents were kind of simultaneously proud and a little bit skeptical. You know, they're very comfortable in their small town Kansas, so they were a little worried about sending their only daughter off, you know, off to the East Coast. But so I went out there and I got my undergraduate degree in music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I play the piano and I sing. Those are my two instruments. And then after college, I moved out to Boulder, Colorado, because I wanted to come back a little bit closer to home, but not too close to home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to play a little bit. I wanted to be in the mountains, and you know, Boulder is infamous for its really healthy lifestyle and its gorgeous weather, and everybody's really into athletics. And so I moved out here and got certified to be a personal trainer through the National Academy of Sports Medicine and started my own company called The Athletic Edge. And I started training people and coaching athletes and working with, you know, everything from 15-year-olds to 75-year-olds. And that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years.
Fantastic. Coming back to growing up in Kansas, it's obviously you grew up in the farm setting. What were some of the challenges as a young person that you faced in terms of food? I know that all of a sudden you guys found out that you are not able to eat wheat. And initially, like I mentioned to you, I thought wheat was good because in the sense that, you know, it's high fiber and those kind of things and so forth. And, of course, me being naive about food itself. So, but having said that, that must be a big switch for you and your family having to kind of entertain you with such problem as far as not being able to eat wheat.
Yes, I mean, it was a big switch, and especially at the time, well, so I went gluten-free in 2004, mm-hmm. and that's about the same time that my mom decided to try eating gluten-free as well, because she had been having some health issues and was curious if it might help her as well. So we kind of went through those growing pains together of figuring out, you know, what to eat. But yeah, growing up on the farm, and we were definitely a meat and potatoes family. I mean, that's what the other thing that we had. We also raised livestock,
right?
And you know, and the way it works when you're growing up on a farm in the Midwest is that you know that it's sad to think about it now, but you know that cute little baby lamb that you raise, you know, eventually ends up on your dinner plate. And that was very much kind of just how we were raised. And mm-hmm. there was a small Amish community right down the road from us as well. And we got our fresh eggs from them and our fresh vegetables. And so in many ways, we did eat really healthy growing up in terms of we didn't eat a lot of processed foods. But at the same time, you know, looking back, a lot of the wheat that we ate, it's not like we were, you know, grinding our own flour by hand and making bread that way. We were buying it at the store. You know, and you made a good point about, you know, you thought wheat was healthy. Well, everybody, you know, thinks wheat is healthy because of, like you said, you know, the fiber and it's grain, and grain's supposed to be good for you. And, you know, unfortunately, so many of our wheat products today are so highly processed that they're not whole grain, it's refined grain, and when you do that, you strip a lot of the fiber out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not getting as much nourishment from the wheat as we think we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the statistics from the USDA is that only 7% of Americans are getting the recommended amount of whole grain.
Yep. That's amazing. So
93% of us are walking around eating a bunch of refined grain all day long.
Well, you're looking at it also, it's sort of now mass-produced, so there's no telling what goes in and what comes out and so forth. What is gluten?
Well, gluten is a protein, which is surprising to most people because when you think of grain, you think of carbohydrates. You don't think of protein. But it's a small protein that's found in wheat, barley, and rye.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that it's also found in all foods that are made from wheat, barley, and rye. So obviously, like wheat bread, any type of bread, really, unless it's specifically labeled gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
Pasta, muffins, bagels, baked goods, crackers, pretzels, all of that stuff. But then it's also found in some places you wouldn't really expect, like soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And soups and sauces. So, you know, when you're trying to switch over to a gluten-free diet, you really have to pay attention to what's in your food, and you have to read your labels, and you have to be aware of the ingredients. And for me, I think that's a wonderful thing to have to do, to be aware of what you're putting in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that's one of the empowering parts about doing something like a gluten-free diet is that suddenly you're not just mindlessly eating. You're very aware of the content of your food, and I think that you know, Americans in general could definitely use a little more education about, you know, what's going into their body.
Oh, I'm sure we all do. Let's talk about people that are allergic, like in your case.
Mm-hmm.
Can we survive without gluten or substitutes in some ways? Somehow, do we need something to substitute that thing that's missing from us?
That's a really good question. Do we need gluten to survive? And the short answer is no. Mm-hmm. People cut gluten out of it. There are people who are eating a gluten-free diet right now and don't even realize that they're eating. You know what I mean? If you don't eat bread and you don't eat pasta and things like that, but you do eat a lot of, let's say, brown rice and quinoa and these other gluten-free grains. I mean, you may already be eating gluten-free and you don't even know it.
Right.
So no, you're not going to be malnourished if you cut gluten out of your diet. In fact, the irony is that if you do have an allergy to gluten, and most people that have a gluten allergy are undiagnosed. They don't even realize that they have an allergy. So if you are walking around with kind of a silent gluten intolerance or undiagnosed, what's probably happening in your body is that you're not absorbing your nutrients very well. Because what happens to the intestinal tract when you have a gluten intolerance is that the little fingers, the little villi in your intestine stop working efficiently and they don't pull the nutrients out of food. So in many ways, cutting gluten out of your diet will actually nourish your body more because then you're going to be absorbing your nutrients better.
That's an interesting information. Why is it so important that we need to know about gluten right now? And gluten seems to have become a very hot topic today.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming really popular. I think this is so interesting from my standpoint because when I first kind of conceived of the book and when I first went gluten-free and when I started, checking all this out, nobody knew what gluten was. And gluten-free products were definitely you could only find them at specialty markets. Mm-hmm. And over the years, as it has gotten more press and more people have discovered that they have a gluten allergy or gluten intolerance or celiac disease, then all these products have become more and more available at just, your standard grocery store, which is fabulous from a consumer standpoint. That means you don't have to be running around to, all these specialty stores trying to find your gluten-free products. But I think the reason that it's really become more and popular isn't even really the best word for it. I think the reason it's become more recognized right now is that people are learning what gluten is. Mm-hmm. And they're learning that when you go on a website and you look at the list of symptoms for gluten intolerance, more and more people are looking at that and saying, oh, my gosh, that's me. I have five of those symptoms. Maybe I should try a gluten-free diet and see if I feel better. And then they try a gluten-free diet and they do feel better. And then you tell your friend and then you tell your family and, the word spreads out.
Right.
And there's also been a lot of really high profile people like, Drew Brees, the quarterback for, oh yeah, you're a Louisiana boy. That's right.
That's right.
You know who Drew Brees is. For listeners who might not be in this football, he's the quarterback for the Saints.
There you go.
And he eats a gluten-free diet. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck eats a gluten-free diet. And so all of these kind of it's gaining celebrity status, so to speak. So I think that's why it's becoming more popular these days.
What's interesting, though, when I first initially heard about gluten and gluten-free and those kind of things, the immediate thing you talk about, is like somebody who's allergic to, like, seafood. And, okay, oh, my gosh, you're allergic to gluten, so you can't eat gluten. So it's more like, okay, tough, that's life, so to speak. So I've never looked at it from a standpoint of fat loss diet. I mean, it's just like, okay, if you're allergic to seafood, then don't eat shrimp.
Right.
If you're allergic to gluten, oh my gosh, okay, let's go down to the grocery store and see what has gluten, and you can't eat it, you can only eat gluten-free food. And one of the things I got from your book, which is very exciting, is that you did mention something about grocery stores are carrying more gluten-free products, and they're well-labeled. And I like that very much, because I shop at Safeway, and I see the big O as in organic. So, oh, I didn't know that's gluten-free. So it's very exciting.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's really becoming so user-friendly because these national grocery store chains are responding to the consumer demand for gluten-free foods. And so Safeway now is actually labeling their products. If you walk down an aisle, you'll see there's a little like shock of wheat with a line through it underneath the products that are gluten-free. So you kind of don't have to do any of your own detective work anymore. The food labeling is really becoming very obvious in terms of which products are gluten-free. And I actually just read the other day that that the FDA is working on laying out some guidelines for requiring food manufacturers to label their foods as containing gluten. So right now, according to the guidelines, you have to list which major allergens are in the product. You know, so if you look at the list of ingredients and at the bottom, it'll say contains, you know, milk, nuts, fish. Well, gluten, cross your fingers, is going to become one of those things as well.
Fantastic. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So when did you become personally involved with this subject?
It was back in 2004, and my aunt was diagnosed with celiac disease. So celiac is just another type of gluten intolerance. Celiac is pretty serious. It's a little more along the lines of a reaction like what you said, like a shellfish or a peanut, where we think of a really stereotypical allergic reaction. You eat something and you immediately get really sick. Most people, not everyone, but most people with celiac disease have a very strong reaction to gluten. And my aunt was definitely one of those people. She had been really, really sick for a long time, and they couldn't figure out what she had, and they thought she had stomach cancer, and then they thought that she had an autoimmune disorder, and, you know, and all of these things. And ironically, celiac disease actually is categorized as an autoimmune disorder. But they were thinking maybe she had lupus or, you know, all these other things. And so they finally discovered that she had celiac disease. She cut gluten entirely out of her diet and got better immediately.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. And celiac does have a hereditary component to it. So my mom and I decided, oh, well, maybe we should try this gluten-free diet thing as well and just see if we feel better. And I immediately noticed that I had been suffering from endometriosis for years, and I'd had the surgery, and I'd been on medication, and nothing was helping. And then I went gluten-free, and my endometriosis just disappeared. So I was really excited about that. But the other thing, the unexpected side effect, was that I lost 15 pounds just without trying. And so as, you know, as a fitness coach and as an exercise physiologist, I thought, ooh, maybe I should be having my clients eat gluten-free and see if this helps them lose weight. So that's what I did, and I started keeping track of the results, and I did before and after pictures, and we did measurements, and we did food journals and diaries, and hands down, everyone who tried a gluten-free diet lost weight. And so last year, I decided, you know what, I need to compile all of this information and write a book so that I can share it with the rest of America.
That's fantastic. I really enjoyed reading your book. It's very well laid out. Who is this diet plan for?
I think, I mean, of course I'm biased. I think it's for everyone.
There you go.
It's really for anyone who wants to lose weight and feel great. You know? And it's even for people who don't necessarily, who may already be at your goal weight, but maybe you just don't feel good. Maybe you're tired a little bit in the afternoons. Maybe you get a little bit gassy and bloated after you eat. So there's a maintenance phase. There's phase three of the diet is the maintenance phase. So that's even appropriate for people who don't even necessarily need or want to lose weight. They just want to feel better, optimize their health.
So what you're saying is that you don't necessarily have to get tested to see if you are gluten intolerant, because basically this diet is wide open to anyone.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, if you want to get tested, then I certainly wouldn't discourage anyone from doing that. But you know, testing for gluten intolerance is inherently problematic because, you know, the medical industry hasn't really perfected testing yet. Mm. So you can get a false negative, and then you would think, oh, I'm not allergic to gluten. I'm just going to keep on eating my, you know, gluten-filled diet, even though you really do have an intolerance. So really the best way to figure out if eating gluten-free is going to make you feel better is mm-hmm. to try a gluten-free diet. And I always encourage people, you know, give it a good 3 or 4 weeks
mm-hmm.
In order for it to really set in and to allow your body to adapt. If you just try it for a day or two and you don't feel better, that's not a reflection of the fact that, you know, a gluten-free diet isn't for you. It's probably more a reflection of you're grumpy because you're not eating the foods you're used to.
With that, actually, like I was telling you in the very beginning of the show, one of my greatest concerns was like, oh, my God, okay, we're going to be talking about gluten-free here, and I must be the one that's chowing down on all this wheat and all the gluten-rich food. And
right.
I realized that, I noticed that my daily consumption, whether it's on the average in daily consumption or for the week or whatever, I noticed that I'm eating probably around 65-70% of food that are gluten-free anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that difficult to switch.
Right. It's actually a really accessible diet.
Mm-hmm.
So fruits, vegetables, all meat, fish, and protein, nuts, olive oils, those are all naturally gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a huge spectrum of food just right there. And then when you get into the grains, I mean, really, there are only 3 grains that have gluten, right? Wheat, barley, and rye. So that
mm-hmm.
means that every other grain is gluten-free.
Right.
So you have, you know, you have your brown rice, you have your quinoa, you have your millet, you have your buckwheat, you have teff. And
mm-hmm.
some of these names definitely aren't household names. I mean, you know, how many people in the United States just make teff on a regular basis? Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
not very many people. And I really wanted to recognize that in when I was putting together my meal plans for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried really hard to focus on foods that are accessible to people, that are comfortable for people to make. And so, you know, when you look at the meal plans in my book, you're going to look at it and think, oh, well, that's, you know, that's a really normal day of eating. I can do
right.
that. You know,
right.
I can have an egg white omelet with fruit and, you know, a serving of hash browns for breakfast. And then I can
mm-hmm.
have salmon and wild rice and steamed green beans for dinner. Like, oh, you know, that sounds very reasonable.
Right. And that's what I like about it, because for me, someone who has no idea about what gluten-free is all about, and picking up the book, and I realized that, wait a minute, I'm already about 65-75% there, and it's not that difficult, and just being conscious of what you're eating. Now, what's interesting is, how can someone actually lose weight by eating gluten-free?
Well, there's a couple of factors that go into it. I mean, one is just the simple fact of, when you cut gluten out of your diet,
mm-hmm.
you're also cutting out a lot of processed foods because,
mm-hmm.
you know, unfortunately, like I said, 93% of us are eating gluten products that have refined flour in it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's usually a high amount of sugar that's added to those baked products as well. So one of the reasons you lose weight is just the simple fact that you're cutting out a lot of refined flour and added
mm-hmm.
sugar. So, I mean, that's just kind of a no-brainer. Another reason is that you're going to be cutting out an ingredient that is included in a lot of processed foods. So, for example, a lot of canned products and
mm-hmm.
a lot of frozen products contain wheat as a stabilizing agent, you know,
mm-hmm.
or gluten, because gluten is a stabilizing agent. So you're cutting out a lot of processed foods from your diet. And then the other thing, and this is could maybe be considered a little controversial, but only controversial in the sense that there's not a ton of studies that have been done yet because it's so new. But I think the fact that it's new and being discovered makes it exciting. There's this element in gluten called exorphins. Mm-hmm. And the other food that exorphins are found in is dairy. So mm-hmm. two, you know, allergenic foods. And exorphins kind of act like an opioid in the body. So they cause kind of an initial high, and you feel really good. And then you kind of start to come down and crash, and mm-hmm. you feel remorse, and and you wish you hadn't, you know, you wish you hadn't eaten it. And then in a couple hours, you kind of feel this weird desire to go back for more. I mean, it's literally mm-hmm. like a drug. So if mm-hmm. you could get that out of your diet, you're really going to find that you can control your food cravings and your binging, you know, your overeating mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. foods will go down as well. That's been something that I've had numerous clients over the years that have been members of OA, of Overeaters mm-hmm. Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And this diet, the gluten-free diet, has been the only thing that has worked for them in terms of controlling their binge eating.
The other thing you talk about also in your book, which I found interesting, is that, of course, we always need to drink a lot of water. But for people that just enjoy coffee as well as tea, those are gluten-free drinks. So you can drink those drinks. Yeah. And so that's interesting. And then, of course, you mentioned something about sugar just now. Sugar is actually gluten-free.
It is, unfortunately. I almost wish it had gluten in it so that I could tell people, like, no, you can't eat sugar. But, yes, sugar is naturally gluten-free, which is one of the reasons why I also focus in the book a lot on mm-hmm. I don't want you to eat a gluten-free diet and be chowing down on gluten-free brownies and gluten-free cake and gluten-free muffins, you know, that is not a recipe for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very careful in the book to really focus on good nutrition, you know, eating healthy, not only getting out the gluten, but also getting out the added sugar.
Regular sugar is okay in some sense. I guess what I'm leading to here is that there are a lot of things out there that have processed sugars. And that's the one that we got to be very careful about.
Yes, absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, here's another shocking statistic.
Mm-hmm.
The national average for added sugar consumption. So this is not naturally occurring sugars like in fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
This is added sugar consumption is 156 pounds per person.
Wow.
A year. Yep. I mean, that is... That's an enormous amount of sugar.
Right.
I mean, you know, you kind of wonder, like, how is it even possible to eat that much sugar? You'd almost have to just sit down with a big bowl and, you know, just kind of shovel it in all day long. And unfortunately, that's kind of what we're doing as Americans, because we're drinking the soda and, you know, mm-hmm. we're eating the processed foods and... You know, so unfortunately, almost everything that we typically eat, you know, in the American diet has added sugar to it.
You're right about that, because a lot of times some of those recipes, they do tell you, you know, you got to add a little sugar, this, that, and so forth. And I have, over the years, have cooked my food without adding any sugar. Even though it calls for sugar, I never add any sugar because I felt like the natural sweetness of the meat, especially when we talk about meat here and spicy food and so forth, I think the flavor is there. You don't have to add something else to it.
Yes,
I've always felt
absolutely.
Guilty about adding sugar. I'm very conscious about that. My dad was diabetic, and so I was very conscious about that kind of thing, and I never added regular sugar. But now you give me a passport because sugar is gluten-free. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
Shoot, my plan has backfired.
So how do we use your book? Very exciting book. I do want you to tell us a little bit more on the air. How do we use your book? Because it's very, very exciting.
Well, there's three phases.
Mm-hmm.
Phase one is for people who have 10 pounds or more to lose. And there's meal plans in here that will just walk you through exactly, you know, if you're the type of person that says, okay, if I'm going to go on a diet, I don't want to be, you know, spending all day trying to come up with my own recipes and in the kitchen and I'm cooking and just tell me what to eat. And I think that probably describes most of us, right? I mean, we have jobs, we have families, we have lives. Dieting can just seem like another chore. So I made sure that I made all of the meal plans, you know, really user-friendly and really easy to follow. Mm-hmm. So in phase one, it is calorie-restricted, obviously. Like, that's how you lose weight. You have to cut down on the calories.
Mm-hmm.
So in phase one, it's about 1,400 to 1,500 calories, which is low calorie, but it's not starvation at all. I mean, you see a lot of these weight loss diets out there that are, you know, 800 or 900 calories, and you mm-hmm. just can't mm-hmm. sustain that. I mean, you can't do it for more than maybe a week at best, and then you're so hungry that you end up, you know, binging at mm-hmm. the end of the week and eating way more calories than you would have if you had just been on, a realistic type of diet plan. So phase one, 1,500 calories. And then as soon as you get down to the last 10 pounds, then you're going to move on to phase two. And what that does is it bumps your calories up just a little bit, like, you know, 1 to 200 calories a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in phase two, I also ask you to do a little bit more exercise, because there's an exercise section that goes along with the meal plans, because, you know, eating healthy is definitely a wonderful first step towards a healthy lifestyle, but moving your body is equally as important. So you have the exercise section to go along with the meal plans, and then mm-hmm. once you finish phase two, that means you reach your goal weight, and you move on to phase three, which is maintenance, and mm-hmm. it basically talks you through how to, you know, continue to eat a healthy gluten-free diet, just kind of as part of your regular lifestyle.
I'm looking at, in your book, the food, good food. It's not something that you're going on this radical diet plan where you got to hold everything off and you eat something that you can't sustain. I mean, everyone can sustain a diet for 3 months, the good ones, maybe six, maybe a year. Right. And then after that, you'll find that, what am I doing? I mean, this is not life. And so
right.
that's
you're not actually really eating food.
Precisely, yeah, and because you have to incorporate this into your lifestyle, and I think that's the amazing thing. Now, Bonnie, in your book, has a very interesting story because she lost 30 pounds in 3 months in your program.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about her story?
Yeah, Bonnie, so I worked with Bonnie for years, and mm-hmm. she actually is a person who has really struggled with binge eating disorder, and she's a longtime member of Overeaters Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she is one of those clients who, man, does she put in the hours at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and she's very, very active, but she was eating too much, you know, because she was binging on gluten-containing foods. And so I talked her into trying my gluten-free fat loss plan. And Bonnie presented me with an additional challenge because she does not cook. And when I mean she doesn't cook, I mean the woman can't boil an egg. So I knew that I had to create kind of a separate column in the meal plan for people who don't cook. So I did that. I made a no-cooking section, and then mm-hmm. I made a cooking section. And Bonnie did the no-cooking. So not only did she lose 30 pounds in 3 months, she didn't cook a single meal. And she has kept it off for over a year,
mm-hmm.
and she still continues to eat gluten-free, and her binge eating disorder is, you know, I don't want to say completely gone,
right.
but it is really, really in check, kind of for the first time in her life, so
sure.
she's pretty psyched.
Well, there is two parts to the equation. One is the psychological side. And then, of course, the other side is the practical side, which is the actual eating itself. And so you guys got the eating side of it done, and it works.
It works. It does. It's true. And then, you know, I have other people here in the book. I have some great success stories.
You kick off the book with Jennifer, which I thought was fantastic. I mean, she lost a tremendous amount of weight. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about Jennifer.
Yes. So I had been working with Jennifer for many, many years as well. And Jennifer had been obese pretty much since, she tells me, since fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So she's 5'3 and weighed 215 pounds. And when I met her, she had just had her first child and was very motivated to, you know, stick around to see her child grow up. And so she was ready to try something new, you know, to try something different. She had done Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and, you know, all of the typical diets that we all try. And so she tried the gluten-free plan, and the great thing about her, she also had some really great positive side effects like I did with, you know, my endometriosis went away. Well, she had been suffering from fibromyalgia for years, and that went away. So she had chronic fatigue, headaches, joint pain, muscle pain, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, all that stuff went away for her. And she lost 80 pounds. Which I think is pretty impressive. And I still work with Jennifer today, and she has kept the weight off. In fact, she just recently lost another 5. So technically she's 85 pounds. But she does love to cook, so she uses a lot of the recipes in here. And I do include over 30 recipes at the back of the book that are all gluten-free. And they're really, really yummy. I mean, I love to cook myself. So I've had a lot of fun over the years experimenting in the kitchen and coming up with stuff. And, you know, I have some great recipes in here like crispy potato slices with warm salmon, cream cheese, and baked pear. Doesn't that sound yummy?
Oh, they're fabulous. I mean, that brings us to the question about how did you come up with all these various recipes for your book?
Well, some of them was a collaboration. You know, I have friends and family and clients that are wonderful cooks, and they said, oh, you know, I made this great recipe, and it's gluten-free, so here, you've got to try it. So I definitely had some people contributing. But most of them are recipes that I have been cooking and playing with and adapting to my gluten-free lifestyle for years. And so I threw those into the mix. And, you know, made sure that I put all the serving sizes and the calories and the fat and the protein and the carbs in there. And that's what it is. So pretty much the recipes are things that I really like eating. And I've tried them out with multiple people over the years. And the feedback has been, yeah, these are really good. So that's how I came up with them.
What I like also is that you are able to organize them and basically suggest when they can use this recipes, phase 1, 2, 3, or all 3 different phases, or you can just use it at different times. So that's very good that they can kind of mix and match.
Yes. Yep. So I make sure that I label each recipe as, you know, whether you can use this in phase 1, phase 2, or, you know, or in all 3 phases. And right now I'm actually working on the follow-up book, which is just recipes. So I'm going to, my next book will be a cookbook, and it's gluten-free fat loss recipes, and there'll be over 100 recipes in there, and I'll tell you as well whether they're phase 1, 2, or 3 for the diet.
Fantastic. I do want to mention that the 2 ladies that we talked about, they are not, and I mean this in a good way, because the main concern that people are looking at you as being a nationally renowned exercise physiologist and a strength coach and those kind of things, the immediate intimidation factor is like, well, you know, I'm not an athlete. I'm just an average person out there that just want to lose a few pounds, and I don't need to go into this sort of boot camp kind of thing. And it's not. That's not what you're offering.
No, not at all. In fact, you know, I really only had one elite athlete on the program, and it did work for him as well. But everybody else has really been you know, just like your neighbor or your sister or your coworker, you know, just someone who really wants to get fit and drop some pounds. And that is who I wrote the book for. So it's very accessible. It's not crazy over the top. The meals are really yummy. You can feed them to your family. You can take them to a dinner party. You know, you can take it to work for lunch. And then the exercise section, same thing. It's not a crazy, it's not P90X. you know, there's some flexibility and there's some core strength. and mm-hmm. there's some cardio, and you can do all of the exercises at home on your living room floor.
Can someone eat gluten-free and not work out and still lose fat?
Well, technically, yes. And I hate to admit that, because mm-hmm. I do think that exercise and movement is a very important part of leading a healthy lifestyle. So mm-hmm. can you lose weight and lose fat without exercising? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
However, for the long term, you want to look at things like maintaining your lean muscle mass mm-hmm. and your joints healthy. And, you know, people always say, like, oh, well, I don't need muscle mass. Well, mm-hmm. muscles are pretty important because that's what holds up our bones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Without muscles, we literally wouldn't have anything to support our skeleton.
Right.
So, you know, I always threaten people when they say, oh, I don't need to do strength training. I say, well, why don't you think of the last time you saw a little old lady all hunched over walking down the street?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way that happens over the years is that you lose muscle mass and you don't have muscles to support your spine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, there are multiple reasons why working out is important. But I would say the number one reason is just that it makes you feel great.
That's the most important thing.
It is. We all want to feel great.
Where can someone find gluten-free products? I know various grocery stores now, like we talk about Safeway, and even in your book you mentioned about Kroger and so forth. Are there places where the diehard people find gluten-free foods?
Well, you can definitely go to pretty much any national chain, like you said. You can go, mm-hmm. and I guess it depends on which part of the United States you live in, what the name of the chain is going to be, whether it's a Hy-Vee or a Safeway or a City Market or a, you know, Dillon's. I mean, there's a million different names.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But essentially, they all carry basically the same products. And I travel a lot, both for work and for pleasure. And I have been really pleasantly surprised in the past couple of years at how many places across the United States are carrying gluten-free products.
Mm-hmm.
Even my little small town in Haven, Kansas, that has, you know, population 1,200, even the local, you know, little individually owned grocery store there is carrying gluten-free stuff. So I guess the answer to your question is you can get it pretty much anywhere. If you really want to get creative and you want to mm-hmm. go for some of the fancier gluten-free stuff, you can go to Whole Foods or Vitamin Cottage or, you know, a local all-natural grocery store, or you can order it online. GlutenFreeMall.com is, I think, one of the best clearinghouses for gluten-free products that's on the Internet right now.
How important is it for all of us to eat it every day, or can we cheat on it a little bit, especially you mentioned just now traveling for business or perhaps in this case vacation or having dinner out with someone, a loved one? How flexible is this diet plan?
Well, it's, you know, it's really as flexible as you want it to be. And the thing I tell people, because everybody asks that same question, oh, well, mm-hmm. I'm going to a birthday party. I really want to just have a piece of cake. And, of course, you know, live your life. Life is meant to be enjoyed. So if you want to have the piece of cake, have the piece of cake. But just know that once you get gluten out of your system, And then you go to the party and you have the piece of gluten-free cake, you're probably mm-hmm. not going to feel very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would say kind of, you know, venture into the deep end at your own risk. just knowing that you're probably going to be, to be quite honest, what's going to happen, you're probably going to be a little gassy
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
a little bloated, which, you know, might not be the most favorable attributes at a party. But there is some flexibility there in terms of, you know, if you absolutely have no choice, then obviously you're going to have to make those decisions. But most people find that even when they're at the party and even when they're traveling, you can still make the gluten-free choices and stick with the plan.
What is the number one failure of people not being able to commit to do this diet?
Planning, being prepared. But I don't think that's unique to this diet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, having worked with people, you know, for a decade now who are looking to lose weight, that's always what derails someone's plan, is, you know, not, or what derails someone's diet is not planning ahead.
Right.
And, you know, that's how we all get in trouble in the first place, right? You go out, you go to work, you didn't bring your lunch, you didn't plan ahead for where you're going to eat, and then you end up, like, grabbing something from the vending machine. And so that's usually how people get in the position of needing to lose weight in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also what is the biggest hurdle once you're trying to actually do any kind of a weight loss program, is that you have to be dedicated.
Very true. What would you like everyone to gain from reading The Gluten-Free Fat Loss Plan?
I think the number one goal of writing this book was to educate people about what's in their food, and also to empower people to make healthy choices and to realize that, you know, losing fat and getting fit is something that, you know, everyone can do and mm-hmm. everyone deserves. You know, everyone deserves to feel great. So, you know, that's really what I hope people take away from my book, is to feel empowered and to have a roadmap that's very realistic and that they can follow for, you know, for a long time.
Great. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Well, my website is always a great way to find out what's going on, both with me and with the book, and to see some other really inspiring success stories. And my website is AllisonWestfall.com. I also have a Facebook page for the Gluten-Free Fat Loss Plan, and people will go on there and post things like, oh, I just tried this new gluten-free beer. it is, you know, we just came out of Labor Day weekend, so there was definitely some, you know, some parties going on.
Mm-hmm.
So people will post things like that, and people also go on my Facebook page and ask me questions. And
mm-hmm.
I respond to every question that's sent to me. It may take me a few days, but I'll get back to you. And then the other place that you can order my book is on Amazon, just Amazon.com.
Fantastic. How has writing this book impacted you personally?
Well, it's when I was actually writing it, it certainly decreased the amount of sleep I was getting. It was a really wonderful journey for me, because in so many ways I feel like it was a community collaborative effort. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was the one who actually typed up the words, but mm-hmm. in so many ways the book just wrote itself, because these were meal plans and exercises and recipes that I had already been using for years and years with my clientele and with my friends and family and in my own life. So in so many ways, it was just kind of this beautiful culmination of everything that I had been cooking up, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
over the past 6 years. So it's really been a wonderful process for me to be able to share this with other people now, and hopefully, you know, continue to get more success stories from other people out there.
How has your parents taken the book?
Oh, they're really supportive. like I said, the irony is that my parents are actually both gluten-free now.
Mm-hmm.
And they've both lost a ton of weight. So my dad has lost 35 pounds.
Wow.
My mom has lost over 20. So here they are in their 60s, just Kansas wheat farmers, and they're following, you know, they're following my plan, they're following my book, and of course my mom, who's a fabulous cook, is coming up with all kinds of fantastic recipes herself
mm-hmm.
as well. So they feel great, they look great, they're very supportive, and they've been telling all their friends about it as well, and now we have all of this little community of wheat farmers in Kansas that are all eating gluten-free now. It's really funny.
You might be barred from coming back to Kansas. You know that, right?
I know. I might lose my farm girl license.
There you go. It says, you know, oh, Allison, she's not welcome in Kansas anymore.
That's right.
She's heading the economy.
Yes, definitely. There's been a steep downturn.
Well, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living for a change to share with us this morning?
You know, my motto for years, both for myself and for my clients and just for life in terms of healthy living, has always been discover your body's true potential. And I think there's so many ways that we can really internalize that. It doesn't just mean go out and run a marathon. It can mean that. but, you know, what it really should mean is that discover how great you can feel. You know, take control of what you're eating and how you're living your life, and discover just how wonderful it can be to wake up every day and say, I'm going to make healthy choices because I deserve it. And, you know, to really be empowered by that. And for a lot of people, that means maybe letting go of some of the things they've been doing to live a healthy life, but they didn't enjoy it. So, for example, you know, I said, well, run a marathon. I can't tell you how many people I've worked with over the years who have said, well, you know, I run to keep in shape, but I really don't like it. I really don't like running. And I always say to them, well, then stop. You know, there are so many other forms of exercise and forms of movement that you can do that you enjoy. So find something that you like to do and make that part of your healthy living program. You know, truly discover what your body can do. Discover your true potential and do it with things that bring you joy.
Very true. Coming back to your recipes, what's your favorite?
Oh, it's seasonal. So right now we're kind of getting into fall, and I'm really excited because, you know, the squash are going to start getting really great. So one of my favorite all-time favorites is baked butternut squash with apples and walnuts. And it's so easy. You basically just chop up squash, apples, walnuts, a little bit of onion, and you just put it in a glass baking dish and throw it in the oven. And the flavors and the juices that come out of the squash and the apples, and it mixes together with the cinnamon and the salt and pepper and the olive oil. I mean, it's just, you have to try that recipe and take it to a dinner party because people will think that you're a culinary genius. and really, it's pretty easy.
Very interesting. For someone who is on the go all the time, and you know how it is, people buy books and they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to read it, you know, from front to back, and they never do.
Right.
What will be the one must-read section to really put them over the top?
I recognize that that's what happens to most books, is that they become, you know, a really beautiful accessory on the bookshelf.
Right.
So I really hope that if you pick up my book and you say, ugh, I don't have time, just give me the nitty-gritty, read chapter 3, because chapter 3 is called Why Gluten is Making You Fat. And I really want my readers to understand, you know, the science and the concepts behind the diet. So read chapter 3, and then if you absolutely must, then just skip to the meal plans, right? So you have your roadmap and you know what you're going to be eating.
What are some of the things why gluten makes you fat?
Well, a few of them are kind of, you know, what we talked about earlier. It's that, you know, gluten foods are often made from processed and refined grains. So, you know, you lose a lot of the nutrients that you thought you might have been getting. And so a lot of people will find, especially, you know, with bread products, I mean, just bread or crackers or pretzels or something like that. I think we can all resonate with the fact that, oh, you know, I had 5 pieces of bread, and technically that was a lot of calories, but for some reason I just don't feel full. I just don't feel satisfied. I feel like I want something else. You know, and that's because that food product didn't actually have a lot of nourishment in it. You know, so you're kind of eating foods that are calorically rich and nutrient poor. So we want to get those foods out. And then there's also that, you know, the gluten-containing foods are high in refined sugar. Like I said, 156 pounds per person per year. Yikes. And that number just keeps growing, you know, every year. So we really, you know, as a nation, we've got to get that in check. We have to get our sugar consumption in check. And, you know, and then that final thing is what I was talking about with the exorphins, that gluten foods can trigger binging and food addiction. So really, when you cut out the gluten from your diet, you're nourishing your body, you're getting a lot of unwanted calories, sugar, and refined grains out, and you're decreasing your food cravings.
Definitely. My favorite page, actually, the first page that I went to in your book is page 26, which is food that does not contain gluten, because I need something to cheer me up.
Right, because you're so right, because in the pages before that, there's a very extensive list of foods that do contain gluten. And, yeah, you're looking at this and saying, oh, my gosh, there are so many foods with gluten. But then you flip the page and it's, oh, and there are also so many foods that don't contain gluten. And, you know, one of my favorites is people are always really pleasantly surprised when they hear that things like popcorn. Popcorn is gluten-free. So there's really a lot of foods that you're already eating that are naturally gluten-free. So this is not going to be some crazy overhaul of your diet where, you know, you're eating foods that are very bizarre and hard to find. I mean, you're basically just be focusing on whole, natural foods. It's really simple.
It's wonderful. I think it gave me hope when I looked at it and I look at my diet and I said, my gosh, I'm about 65% there. It's not bad at all. And in many ways, to be honest with you, I think over the years that I've lost that little 5-10 pounds up and down kind of stuff, it's just by adjusting the diet and not really knowing that you did it.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's also kind of an easy trap that people fall into when they go on, a diet plan, is they actually go too far. You know, you're too restrictive, or you say, oh, well, I'm going to do this detox diet, or I'm going to do a cleanse diet. And those things do work in the short term. But then what happens when you go off it? I mean, you can't, you know, drink lemon water and eat steamed endives for the rest of your life. Like, it's not a sustainable plan.
Right.
So that's what I'm really trying to get people to focus on is you don't have to take it to the extreme. You just kind of have to clean it up around the edges and then make a commitment to eating that way, you know, to doing it the majority of the time instead of saying, oh, I'm going to diet for 2 weeks and then I'm going to go to this party and, you know, eat everything in sight.
That's right. Well, Allison, thank you so much for being on my radio show and thank you for the great recipes for living. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us this morning. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Carla Ubrich. She's a humorous and award-winning singer, songwriter, and the author of How Can You Not Laugh at a Time Like This? Carla and I will be discussing about her funny look at life and her new book. For additional information about this show, future shows, and to receive the free recipes for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Allison, thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Johnny. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.